Shogger. Oh, yeah, we're waiting for your next video in the bird's chair, so we look forward to that. Number two.
You're welcome to come use it anytime you want to relax.
I'm not sure you heard the story of Strud. I don't want to repeat what Strud said he was going to do in the chair, so we'll just save that for another day. The Edmonton Oilers, Riley Shahan, according to Dave Tippett, has been cleared. I assume he's going to play. They want to take down some of Draisaitl's minutes, especially on the penalty kill. So he's in. I assume Colby Cave. To me, that's the obvious out. But let's say Chiasson and Archibald are also both ready. Which two wingers would you take out?
Okay, so Chiasson's ready, Archibald is ready, and Shahan is ready, and two need to come out.
Well, three then, but I'm saying Cave's out for Shahan. I think we'd all agree on that.
Right, Cave would be out for Shahan. So then you've got... I mean, I thought... It gets a little bit difficult. I thought your Joe was pretty good. I thought he did well in his role. I thought Gaetan Haas was decent. Honestly, I think you need to send a shot across the bow in the early going here. And a little healthy scratching for Jujhar Khaira might be in order. I don't think he's been anywhere near urgent enough. I think he's playing like a guy who thinks he's got a spot every night in the lineup, and he does not. So I would strongly be looking at that one. And then you got another tough decision to make because I like Nygaard's game. I like the way he's played. I mean, what are your other options, really?
Patrick Russell.
Russell would be the other one. And I'm okay with them making that switch because I believe Chiasson and Archibald for now need to be every night guys. So I'd say Khaira and Russell.
Shogger, how unique is this situation where we're talking about players that can come in and have an impact? And guys that are maybe just getting by aren't enough, and there's the word competition. Is it the first time you remember the Wilders' real competition?
Yeah, between guys who belong in the lineup, not just who belongs in the lineup, you know, the least. Before it's been, you know, the choices haven't been, you know, you go over the choices and you go, man, there's just not a lot of great options here. So you're trying to pick the best of not a lot of great options. So I think that's positive. I think that's what they wanted. I mean, they signed enough guys between Granlund and Haas and Yurjo and Nygaard and, you know, all these guys, Archibald. I mean, all they did was sign bottom six forwards in the offseason. So, yeah, they put lots of guys into place, and it should be an area of improvement, even though through two games, I don't think it's been their strength through two games.
The one thing that might keep Jujhar Khaira in the lineup is his play in the penalty kill. He's been the second most used forward on the penalty kill behind Leon Draisaitl, and the penalty kill has been really good, and Dave Tippett's talked about it. So that's where I think it really comes down. Like, Yurcho only played 8 minutes in his game, and I know he made the great play on the Darnell Nurse goal. Granlund, like, that might save those guys staying in because of their play on the penalty kill. They're second and fourth most used guys. You know, whether it's fair or not, I think Dave Tippett, like, he really is putting an emphasis on wanting a good penalty kill.
Yeah, and you may be right. That might save Khaira, but he just has not, he hasn't been close 5-on-5, in my opinion.
That's fair.
And I think that a player like Khaira, the worst thing that can happen for Jujhar Khaira is for him to get comfortable. Because when he plays comfortable, the quality just falls right out of his game. And if I were Dave Tippett, I'd be looking to send a message really firmly to Jujhar Khaira in the early going here because he's not showing some great signs in the early going. So, yes, you need him as a penalty killer, but they need him as a useful 5-on-5 player too that challenges for a spot on a useful third line. Not 5-on-5, you're questioning whether he even belongs in your lineup. So, you know, you want to send the player a message, you need him on the penalty kill, do you have some other guys that could fill in on the penalty kill for a game? I think so.
Got Ryan Reshaga on the line, a TSN bureau chief here in Edmonton, breaking down the Oilers. Shogger, when you look at the play of the two Euros coming over, Nygaard and Haas, are you seeing the growth that some others are preaching?
Yeah, so we'll start with Nygaard. You know, one of the things I really like about him is when he's in the offensive zone, in, you know, down below the goal line, he's got a level of aggression there that I was surprised by and that not enough of the players have. And it's nothing, he doesn't go crazy, he's not running around or anything, but the guy's not afraid to skate fast and finish a check on the forecheck. And quite frankly, there aren't enough guys that think about doing that. So I like the fact that even though he's a skilled European player, he comes over here and he's willing to finish checks. When he's battling for pucks, I like how hard he battles, and I like the tenacity that he shows. Now, he needs to take that tenacity and apply it to on the wall in his own end. Because on the wall in his own end, he looks scared to make a mistake. He looks panicked and scared to make a mistake, and he really needs to take that competitiveness and that confidence and apply it to that position on the ice. I think it'll make a big difference for him. And Haas skated really well, looked like he belonged in the NHL, was fast, made some nice plays. It was a really, really good step forward for him.
Well, Haas's play, not only going forward, but the pass purposely off the side of the net to Nygaard, I'm like, that's so a pretty nice. Sick play. So I like that he's gaining the confidence to want to even try that, because, like, Colby Cave, for all his effort, would never even try that play. Like, to me, Colby Cave just doesn't really bring anything right now that helps your team.
You're right. And I think if you're Colby Cave, you gotta ask yourself, how can I stand out? How can I make a difference? And you need to be finishing every check. You need to be in on the forecheck hard. You need to be grinding, making life difficult for people. And you cannot swing away from a single body check. And I'm not seeing that from him. And that's a way he can separate himself from some of these other guys that they've brought in, and he hasn't done it yet. So, yeah, I think same thing. He needs the same message sent to that you cannot be comfortable in this lineup, that every night you just have a right to put the sweater on. It's just not the way it's going to be on a good team.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. The other question in goal, Mike Smith, no-brainer. I got the start in game two. They won. Obviously, it wasn't the prettiest game by any stretch. You do have Koskinen's former team after 2 days' rest. He hasn't played a game since the preseason game in Calgary on September 28th. When do you think Tippett starts him on this road trip?
I'd go with him next. Like, time to get him going. He's been sitting for too long. He's going to get stale. I totally understand why they went back-to-back with Smith. But Mike Smith, as much as he rebounded and helped win them the game, there's nothing wrong with pulling Mike Smith after that performance and saying, okay, yes, we won, but wasn't your strongest. Got to get the other guy in. And this is supposed to be a healthy competition between the two. Time for Koskinen to get his chance to see what he can do under pressure. Smith was okay, but he made a couple of big-time mistakes. And if any single player that was in a competition for his job every single night made two mistakes of that magnitude, chances are, if there were an option, they'd be getting, they'd be going with the other option. And I just think that's the situation they have in net. If you slip up, the other guy's got a chance to come in and grab it.
How'd you like your first taste of Joel Pearson?
I'm not really going to judge too much. It's his first NHL game, NHL regular season game, up to speed, on the big ice. I think he did some good things. I think he was a little behind in some areas. He was okay. I just don't think we can judge too much, because, we've seen over the years mixed results with guys in their first games, and sometimes they'll come out the next game and be a completely different player. So I think there's a player there, potentially. Don't know that there's a top four defenseman there. I think that's a real stretch, and I've been clear about that from the beginning. But it looks like there might be an NHL player in there, and let's give him another look.
Yeah, he was actually calmer than I expected, for his first game and what he'd been through. He didn't have those super happy feet. He was pretty good. Like, I thought, as a first impression as a D-man, I was pretty happy with it. I'm interested to see where he could go. I didn't think he took a lot of risks, but I'm interested to see where he can go. And I agree with you, Shocker. I'm not going to make or break him on one game, but, just that initial game to see what it looked like. I thought he did okay, and he wasn't as kind of, as rushy as I thought some young players are, although he's not exactly a baby,
Well, and I think what it boils down to is, how does your coach feel about the prospects of throwing you back in? So if you're Dave Tippett, you're looking at that performance from Joel Pearson, you're going, okay, what options do I have? What am I comfortable with? Based on that performance, I think you're completely comfortable coming back with the exact same D pairings next game. There's no reason to move a lefty over to right. There's no reason to shift things around. He played well enough to give his coach the confidence to roll him right back out there. And sometimes in your first game, that's a victory in itself.
Yeah, the one thing tomorrow, it's going to be a stingy D. The Islanders just simply don't give up a whole bunch. So we'll see how the Oilers play. I don't think it'll be as loosey-goosey as it was against the Los Angeles Kings. Shogger, the Edmonton Eskimos losing Hamilton quite big. Now they come home to B.C., and now BC pretty much has to win all three of their games to catch Edmonton, because, or I guess, win two and have a tie. But, you know, the Edmonton Eskimos right now, they just, to me, they don't look like they're good enough. I'm not sure they're talented enough to beat any of the good teams. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I think that they are. I wouldn't have said that earlier in the year. I absolutely feel that way now after this last month and a half. I think they're lucky to be in the position they're in. They're lucky that their destiny is in their own hands, because the way they've been playing football lately, they earned it earlier in the year by taking care of some business early, and good for them, full marks, but it's really rearing its head right now. So this will be an interesting challenge for them. They have the opportunity to basically book their ticket. They have the opportunity to take a team that is going to be desperate and to say, nope, no, we haven't been great lately, but we're taking care of our business today. Are they going to take care of their business in this game? And if they do, positive step, positive sign for a team that is desperate for them right now, because they've had very little going really, right for them. So take care of your business. You know, put your foot on this team's throat and just end it.
It's going to be difficult to see if they can do it or not right now. Not looking good for the S, but a huge game, really. You can knock BC out of playoff contention. If you don't, though, then it comes down to the final 2 weeks, and Edmonton plays Saskatchewan both games, who's currently first in the West, so it won't be easy after the bye week for the green and gold. Shogger will find out tomorrow who's in the lineup. And for fun, let's say they activate Riley Shahan. They have to send somebody to the minors. Who goes down?
Oh, because they got a pile of forwards.
Yeah, they're not sending a defenseman down.
I might have said, they're not sending a D-man down. I might have said Haas before, but then he had that nice game. Russell, you have to subject to waivers, which they're nervous about, so probably wouldn't be him.
Well, they're all going to go to waivers. The only guys who don't need waivers are Nygaard and Haas, and they're obviously not going down. So.
Yeah, so interesting question. I don't think I'd throw Yurcho down at this point. Yeah, good question, man. It might have to be Haas, as much as you don't want it to be, but...
No, I think it's Colby Cave. Easy for me.
Yeah, you know what? Because you're not too worried about it. If someone wants to snare that contract, and they go ahead and do it. Yeah, no, I think you're probably bang on there.
Chogger, we'll chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Have a great one.